while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Promises, promises is the message of today. And the promises that we have, the promises that we've made, promises that other people have said. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anyone, anyone that says Jesus is cheating? Is there any friend you have has not broken a promise to you, that is entirely trustworthy? Are you in that situation? Do you know anyone? You might say this is a trustworthy person. They really do their best to kind of keep their promises. But is there anyone that you know is in this kind of situation where they have never failed in keeping a promise to you? Perhaps you can think of someone, but they'll be the exception rather than the rule. Let's look at ourselves. Have you always kept your promise to others? Okay, that's also a tricky one. How many promises have you made that you've not fulfilled? Perhaps you made a promise to yourself and you've not kept it. I remember making a promise to myself when I was 11 years of age. And here I stand over 50 years later, and I don't know whether I'll keep that promise to myself. But today is a day of encouragement. Let's go old technology. Hebrews 6, yeah. And verse 18 Hebrews 6 confirms the purpose of the message today. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. The point of the passage today is to really encourage us. And we're in the book of Hebrews. So this letter was written for a Jewish audience. It's okay. Don't worry. Yeah. While most of the New Testament letters refer to the Old Testament, Hebrews was written for a Jewish audience. It was written to Messianic Jews, Hebrews, people that were from a Jewish background that had become Christians. In Hebrews, more than any other book in the New Testament, the references to the Old Testament are more dense, more complete, greater than any other book. And we start today with a passage of the oath to Abraham. And the oath to Abraham refers right back to Genesis 12. The Lord says to the prophet Abraham, he's 75 years of age. He has no children. The Lord says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. God's made this specific promise to him. Let's not confuse it with something else. This is not a request that Abraham has gone to God with. So it's not like, oh, God's let me down. He hasn't fulfilled a promise because I've asked him to do something and he hasn't done it. That's not where this is. God has made a promise. God has made a number of promises in Scripture. God has made a promise to Abraham that he will become a great nation. 75 years of age. His wife is 65 years of age. Abraham believes God. Now, an oath in the Old Testament, or a promise, a verbal promise or an oath, was usually given by a higher power. Before the age of kind of common writing, then you needed something to bind something you've said. So it's not just something you would say. And so you would swear by a higher power. God doesn't have a higher power, so he swears by himself. And in modern times, we don't believe in necessarily in verbal kind of, we'd say, can I have that in writing, please? Have we seen it in writing? We don't kind of go with that anymore, but in the age before writing was common, then you need a binding kind of a promise. And God says in Genesis 12, I will make you into a great nation, Abraham. Time goes on. And some more years pass. Abraham, Sarah are already an advanced age. They're not getting any younger. In Genesis 15 and verse 5, the Lord says, he took Abraham outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. He's even older now than 75. His wife's older now than 65. And God promises again. I don't know if you've ever actually looked at the sky at night, maybe in a place which hasn't got kind of a load of light pollution that we tend to get in London, but maybe in the countryside on a really clear night. And there are thousands and thousands of points of light. Some are stars, some are galaxies, and there are thousands. And God took Abraham outside and he said, look into the night sky, you see the stars. That's how much your offspring will be. And time's ticking. God has promised Abraham. Abraham believes. But 10 years pass. Abraham is 85 years of age. His wife now is 75 years of age. What does Abraham do? Does he believe God will fulfill his promises? Well, I guess he does. But he starts to fall away, doesn't he? Because he then says, well, perhaps I have to make it happen in another way. And his wife says to him, well, perhaps we have to do this another way. I'm kind of 75 now, and perhaps you should take one of the maidservants and have a child through them. Who tries to force the promise of God, the timescales of God. How often do we do that? We've got a promise. We know it's going to be true. But it's not quick enough. It's not. I'm not getting any younger. You know, I'm 85. This isn't going to happen otherwise. So he takes a maidservant. And while Sarah's suggested it, he sleeps with a younger maidservant called Hagar. She becomes pregnant. Hagar starts gloating. She starts despising Sarah. Possibly doesn't actually say this, but it says, well, I can get pregnant, you can't. I don't know what the conversation was. It just says that Hagar gets pregnant and starts despising Sarah. I'm capable of bearing children, you're not. I don't know what the conversation was, but it got nasty between the two of them. So Noah and Abraham's, he's tried to force the promise of God. He's not got two women in his household at war with each other. Well done, mate. Sarah comes to him. She says, you are responsible. Well, okay, she's kind of pushed him in that direction. But you are responsible for this wrong I'm now suffering, she says. And that's not untrue. He is partly responsible for that. What does Abraham do? Well, he's a bloke. He's got two women in his household that are warring with each other. And he tries to keep his head down. Okay? If the men in the audience here, I'm one of them. I've been in that situation. Two ladies in the family fighting. Okay, and we're just trying to stay kind of a bit clear of it. Abraham kind of cops out and he says, she's over to you. Do whatever you think best, Sarah. She's yours. She's yours now. Do whatever you think best. What a cop out. How kind of predictable for us guys, I'm afraid. Sarah then ill-treats Hagar and she flees. This is where we're at. This is the first lesson of today. God has made a promise, a very specific promise to Abraham. It's not going to Abraham's time scale, Sarah's time scale. We're not getting any younger. And we try to force the promise. And we've created a mess for ourselves by trying to take the promise that God's given us into our own hands. Now, I know myself, I wouldn't have waited 10 years to try and kind of force the issue. I'm not kind of passing judgment on Abraham for that, in that sense, because I am no better than that. And I suspect if most of us looked at ourselves, we would admit the same, that we know these things, but they need to happen to our timescales. Another 13 years pass. So, okay, if we kind of do this, we've got 75 years, we've got 10 years, actually another 14 years pass. Abraham is 99. His wife is 89 years of age. And an angel comes and says, remember that promise. I'm going to make you a nation very, very numerous. Sarah laughs. She's heard this for 24 years. And the angel says to her, what are you doing? And she makes out that she isn't kind of laughing. But she does become pregnant. God fulfills his promises in his time. Not the timings that we think are applicable to us, not the timings that we think are physically capable of. God fulfills his promises in his time. 25 years after a 75-year-old was promised that he would have many descendants, he is given the answer to his promise. These are God's promises, not to the will of man. Who, Sarah included, Abraham included, would have thought people of that age would bear a child? Certainly not them. And God has delivered his promise. Later on we read that Abraham does make a good call, okay? He doesn't make always good calls, but he does make a good call. He plants a tamarisk tree. This is in Genesis 21 and verse 33. Now, a tamarisk tree is of no use until it's about 80 years of age, to its kind of fruit and its kind of shade that it goes. And so Abraham isn't planting the tamarisk tree for himself. Nor is he really planting it for his son to come, Isaac. He's planting it for his grandson. And so he's actually accepting that God will come through on his promise, that there will be descendants out there. There will be descendants kind of very numerous. And the tamarisk tree is almost like a symbol of an investment for the future. Now, are there any tamarisk trees that we need to plant virtually? Any things that we need to do? Not necessarily for ourselves, but the people ahead of us, because God has promised us. So what are you hoping for? Well, we had a discussion a bit earlier about kind of maybe kind of the things that we pray for, the things that we hope for. And I'm not just talking about the smaller stuff. I hope Arsenal will win the league this year. Some may agree with that. A lot of you may not. When will the kids go back to school, you know? Will Lewis Hamilton win an 8th Formula One title? What do you hope for? You've got various hopes and fears. And some of those are answered by promises. But again, I want to make a distinction here. Just because we pray for something, that isn't God promising us that we're going to get something. God has made some very specific promises in his word. There are many thousands of promises in God's word. Scholars say in the Bible there are 8,800 promises of God. I haven't fact-checked that point. I haven't been through all the verses of the Bible. Most of the fact-checkers are actually currently studying Donald Trump's latest words, you know, to check that they're okay. But I didn't get to 8,726 and say I can't find the rest. But there are many, many hundreds of promises contained in the Bible. Last time I spoke was on the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was given a promise that a saviour would be given to the world. It didn't happen in Jeremiah's lifetime. It didn't happen for 500 years later. But God fulfilled his promises in his time. If we look at the news at the moment, I don't know about you, but I'm just depressed. There's some attacks on Iran. There's some attacks kind of all around the Gulf. The price of oil is going up. We all know that's going to drive up inflation. That's going to drive up our energy bills. We're on the one hand up being asked to participate in this war, then being called kind of cowards in Europe. And every day there's a new kind of slightly more depressing kind of incident. I want to encourage you with these, because this is a message of encouragement. Of those thousands of promises, I've selected 9 promises from God's word. And these are sure, these are promises of God, not promises given by a politician that might change their mind tomorrow. These are promises of God. Promise number 1, God will provide. Psalm 23, verse 1. We should both know this, you don't have to look this up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God will provide. God will never leave us. In Hebrews 13 chapter 5, we read, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is in control. Proverbs 19. And verse 21. We read these words. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God is in control. Pastor isn't here today, but this is his favourite. God will use the things in your life to work for your good. Romans 8. 28. He has it on his wall in his office. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes things happen in life that we really can't understand, just like we can't always understand the timescales of the promises of God. But another promise. God will save those who call on him. In John's Gospel in chapter 6. Verse 37. We read, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me," Jesus says, "I will never drive away." God strengthens us when we are weak. Another promise. Psalm 28, verses 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one." God will strengthen us. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "The Holy Spirit will speak for us even when we can't speak for ourselves before the Lord." In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Promise number 8. Jesus will return. Acts 1 and verse 11. We read, Peter says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus will return. As we've quoted the pastor's favourite passage, then I'm going to quote my favourite passage. God will make everything right. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" God will make everything right. They're just some of the promises that God has promised us. And how secure are they? In 1955, accounts slightly vary on this story, but in 1955, a statue of a Buddha just outside Bangkok was being moved, a clay statue. And the statue had sat under a simple kind of tin roof, because it wouldn't kind of fit in inside the temple, so it had just been out kind of semi outside under a tin roof for many years, for over 20 years. It was quite a historic statue of the Buddha, and they did create a new kind of building to move the statue into. Now, some accounts said when they were lifting the statue, the crane wasn't kind of strong enough, and it kind of toppled over because the statue was a lot heavier than they expected it to be. Some say the ropes. Some accounts say that the ropes broke on the statue, but whatever happened, the statue fell from quite a height onto the ground, and a piece of the statue kind of chipped off, clay. And it was quite interesting because what they found underneath the clay was gold. They then kind of stopped. They then actually took the clay off the statue. And what they revealed was the largest solid gold structure ever created. Why the crane couldn't lift it, this thing was 5.5 tons of gold. It's the largest solid gold kind of image anywhere in the world. And it had been outside under a tin roof for 20 years. The story was it had probably been made in the 1300s, a time of great political unrest. The monks of the monastery had probably covered it in clay. And indeed, invaders had come into that place, kind of overrun it, killed the monks, turned the place it was in into ruins, and this clay Buddha didn't command that much attention because there were lots around. It was completely forgotten for hundreds of years until an accident had kind of dropped the Buddha into and revealed it was made underneath of pure gold. The promises of God aren't clay. They're pure gold. The promises of God will come about. God swears by himself that the promises of God will come about. We've learned from the passage today, God cannot lie. God cannot break his oath. He cannot be untrue to himself. The promises that we've read about today, just 9 of them, of the thousands that are in there, will apply to us. Not necessarily in the timescales that we want them, but in the timescales that God wants them. And I want to encourage you today with those promises. God will provide. God will work things for our good. God will make things right in the end. We have a solid gold guarantee that the Lord will do these things. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.